You know that perhaps some of you have heard the well-known saying of C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd was a great missionary, an English missionary who went to Africa, and very sacrificial life, very godly man, who lived years and years and years in a little hut in the Congo and brought thousands to Christ to a place where there were no Christians. He used to call his hut Buckingham Palace because he was a king there. The king was living there, he said, and brought thousands of people to Christ. But there's one statement of his he made, which is very well known. Only one life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I believed that for many years, and I still respect C.T. Studd. As I often say, we are standing on the shoulders of others, and that's why we see further ahead. So I think, I'm not a better missionary than C.T. Studd. He lived a million times more sacrificial life than I've lived, brought more people to Christ than I have. But in this area, I have seen something which he did not see. So I changed it. I said, only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what Christ does through me will last. There are many people in the world doing many things for Christ. It won't last. What is done for Christ will last? No. The world is full of people, Babylonian Christians, doing things for Christ. Only what's done for Christ. They think they're doing something which will last. It will not. Only what Christ does through me will last. And I see that like the branch in the tree. It's like the tree, you know, you use the example of the branch in the tree right there. If you abide in me, the branch bears fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That branch, even if it's been in the tree for 50 years, the moment it's cut off, it's dead. 50 years of experience of producing apples. No use. It cannot produce a single apple when it's cut off. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I believe this is one of the greatest lessons that we have to learn in the Christian life. And if we have learned it, we have learned one of the greatest lessons. And it is such people who can be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but that's mostly to do miracles or to preach like somebody or do some spectacular thing for God. No, the Holy Spirit will come to teach me that I can't do anything, but dependent upon Him. And then I look at the life of Jesus. You know, we've always said that Jesus is our example. One of the great differences between Old Covenant and New Covenant is this, that in the Old Covenant, they had exhortations, commandments, encouragements. But one thing they did not have was an example. There's not a single person in the Old Testament who could say, follow me. They could say, listen to this. This is the word of God. And this is what almost all preachers and pastors say today. This is God's word. Listen to it. You hardly ever find a preacher or a pastor today to say, follow me. Follow my example. Have the same attitude to sin that I have. Have the same attitude to God that I have. Have the same attitude to money that I have. Come and see my accounts and see how I handle money. Check if I paid all my taxes. Have the same attitude to money that I have. Bring up your children the way I brought up my children. Look at my example and follow me. There are very, very few people in the world that I have met who can say that. And yet that is supposed to be the primary thing that we are supposed to say as New Covenant Christians. Otherwise, we are like Old Covenant people. This is what the Lord has said. Come and hear what the Lord has said. This. Moses did that. Elijah did that. But Jesus said, follow me. It says he first did and then taught. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I never forget, I remember when I saw this for the first time, Acts 1, verse 1. Luke wrote the book of Acts and he says to Theophilus, my first composition, which is the Gospel of Luke, Luke gives a title to that. The Gospel of Luke, the title Luke himself gives is All That Jesus Began to Do and Teach. That's the title of the Gospel of Luke. What he first did and then taught. You read, for example, in Luke chapter 2, how he submitted to Mary, obeyed him. He did. In everything he did, then taught. He did and taught. In the Old Covenant, it was not like that. In the Old Covenant, Moses went up into the mountain and heard and came back and spoke. Whatever he heard, he didn't have to do it. Samuel, when he was a little boy, he'd say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." He would hear and go and tell people, "This is what God has said." It was entirely, "Hear me and go and tell people what you heard from me." You hear something in the church and it changes your life. Praise the Lord. Go and tell others. But if you haven't done it, you're not following Jesus. You have to do and then teach to follow Jesus. I'm not supposed to teach in the new covenant what I've not done or what at least what I'm not attempting to do. I can't speak about do not be anxious. If I'm a tense, anxious person all the time, at least if I'm trying to climb that mountain of being anxious for nothing, I can say, I haven't reached the top, brothers and sisters, but I'm following. I'm going up the way to be done completely free from anxiety. Or rejoice in the Lord always. Wonderful verse. But I can never talk about it if I'm not climbing that mountain where I've completely finished with grumbling and complaining about anything in my home. But I never complain to my wife about anything in my life. Never murmur about anything. I'm climbing that mountain. It hasn't become perfect. Then you can speak about rejoice always. If you're not gloomy, if your wife can testify, your husband can testify, I never see my partner in a bad mood anytime. Now, that doesn't happen overnight. But if you follow Jesus, you can come to the place, my brother, sister, where you will never be in a bad mood because Jesus was never in a bad mood. Now, that is the goal we have. I'm saying in all these things, don't get disturbed if you haven't reached the top of the mountain. You can start climbing and saying, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus has reached the top of the mountain. He's perfect. Paul hadn't reached Jesus. He said very clearly, I'm not yet perfect, but I'm pressing on. And that's what all of us say. We're not even got as far as Paul. But Paul is another fellow who said, follow me. You know, by the way, there are only two people in the Bible who ever said, follow me. Jesus and Paul. Jesus said, follow me. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And we should be able to say, follow me as I'm following Christ too. And following Paul as well is a good example for us to follow. So in Hebrews 11, you see this wonderful verse, which I've often quoted. Hebrews 11, this fantastic chapter, which describes things like Red Sea being split open and the walls of Jericho being pulled down and lions' mouths being shut and people being raised from the dead. All types of amazing things. And at the end of this fantastic chapter, a woman like Sarah giving birth at the age of 90. And at the end of all this, it says, Hebrews 11:40, this is the best part of that chapter. God has provided something better than all of this for us. What can be better than stopping the sun, like Joshua, splitting the Red Sea, like Moses? Something better? Here it is. Let us run the race, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, looking unto Jesus. This is better than splitting the Red Sea. To walk in Jesus' footsteps, denying ourselves every day, taking up the cross, dying to ourselves, and looking at Jesus' example and saying, Lord, I want to follow you, is a far better thing, according to Hebrews 11:40, than stopping the sun, pulling down the walls of Jericho, splitting the Red Sea. How many Christians have understood that? Far better than casting out demons and doing all types of miracles, raising the dead. The better thing is that I can deny myself and take up the cross and follow Jesus. I tell you, there are very, very few Christians who have understood that. If they had the choice between raising the dead and denying themselves, they would definitely choose raising the dead. but not me. I've seen the better thing. And that's what's changed my life. It's completely transformed my life, and I know that in eternity, I will not regret the way I've chosen. Many people who raise the dead and cast out demons may go to hell. Jesus said that. They'll say, I did miracles in your name, and Jesus said, I never knew you. I never knew you because they never understood the way he went. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, like the sunrise. It becomes brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until the full day. We're supposed to become like the sun rising, more and more and more and more like Jesus every day. And those who live closest to us should be able to see that. A freedom from complaining, a joy in the Lord, where no temptation can make us fall. In the beginning, many temptations make us fall, but it becomes less and less and less and less and less and less. Now, don't let anything I say discourage you. Remember what Paul said, I'm not perfect, but I'm pressing on. So I'm not asking us to be perfect. None of us are. I'm far from it, and I'm conscious of it. But we must be on this path of humility, of looking at Jesus. And when we read the Bible, to say, Lord, help me to see you better today. To wake up in the morning. And not just to say like Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. But like David said, one thing I have desired of the Lord, Psalm 27:4, that I may see the beauty of the Lord today and worship him.